Thank you, Amy. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That's fine. Okay. That's fine there. I'm going to go ahead and shed some light on this situation. Tis a joke. Tis but a joke. Good morning, everybody. Just want to say welcome. Thanks for coming this morning. Goodbye. I'm just kidding. So last week, we finished up our series on 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear the Lord, honor the king. Or fear God, honor the king. Depending on your translation. And it was awesome just going through all of that together, learning how we could do all those things, how we could apply those things to our lives. And it was really neat last week. I'm going to take a page out of Eric's book this week. Gave us the points up front so that if we fall asleep, no, I'm kidding, so that we can go back and revisit them as we're continually learning more and more. So that's what I'm going to do. We're actually going to start this next series today. It's the 2 Peter. We're just going to go through 2 Peter. We'll start off with the first chapter, just a little bit going through that. But I'll give you guys 5 quick points, and they're not going to be on the board or the slides, so I'm going to let you guys know. I'll say them nice and slow. So the first point is that we all have the same faith. Just remember that, same faith, right? Point number 2, God has given us all things. So all things, right? 3, claim promises. That's just that, claim promises. 4, practice. And then 5, do it again. So the reason why we'll be going through those, I'll save that for you guys to figure out as we're going through them. But before we go ahead and jump into reading through 2 Peter, I'm going to just pray, because it's always good to pray. Father God, we come before you now, thankful that you are Lord, thankful that we can just seek you, and yeah, that's what we ask. We ask that you would give us pure hearts, give us clean hands, that we would seek your face, that we would seek you out first and foremost. God, we are so grateful that you've given us your word to do all these things, and Father, we simply ask that you would open up our eyes of our heart to have faith, to believe and practice what we hear today. God, we're excited. We're excited to learn more about you, God. And I pray that you would fill me up, fill my brothers and sisters up with that spirit of excitement, that spirit of desire to learn from you more. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given it to us. Amen. Awesome. So we're going to read. It's always good to start out with God's word, remembering that everything that we learn, everything that we're teaching is from God's word. So we're going to read 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. So I'll go ahead and read that real quick. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So we're going to break this down and go over those few points went over earlier. So we're going to start with verse 1. Actually, funny enough, you start where we began. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So why does it matter that he's saying that we've obtained the same, a faith of equal standing? We have to look at the letter, who it was to. And Peter, as a Jew, raised as a Jew, they were called as God's people. And he was writing to Gentiles. He was saying that it doesn't matter that what we were before we came to Christ. Once we came to Christ, we have the equal faith, the same standing. And that's important for a multitude of reasons, because one, we have the same faith, and I think we went over this month or last year sometime, that we are, or maybe earlier this year, but we are all brothers and sisters with people who believe in Christ over in Africa, or say Europe, anywhere. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. We have that same faith. That same faith connects us, and we can have that awesome brotherly affection, which is awesome. I love it because I get to visit places randomly throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, and a bunch of us do, and it's just like, oh, you're a Christian. Awesome. I know I can rely upon you, like that kind of thing. It's a brotherly love. But it's also important for a very large reason. That same faith is God's justice towards us, because he is counting everyone who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ on equal playing ground. Right? Everyone has the equal opportunity to come to Christ. And it's this the way that God justifies sinners is through grace, through Jesus Christ. And that is very important to remember, that we have that same faith. Everyone here was on that equal playing ground. This is God's justice, that any who call upon his name will be saved. And we're actually going to look at Romans 5:8. So in Romans 5:8, I'll just read it. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it doesn't matter. Like, while we were still sinners, Christ was there for us. Remembering that, I like doing this like little motion here, but it's a good visual cue. Like, we are all equal standing. There is like, we're all equal here. Everyone has that same faith, that same spirit. And we'll get into that. But in fact, next verse, we're going to look at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to just compare, just different, giving us everything we need. We have everything we need for living a godly life. His divine power. God has given us all things. He has already implanted in us all things. And it's funny. The best analogy I've ever heard of this is a baby, right? So we see a baby, comes out, and we're like, oh, look, a little human, little baby, right? That baby has everything it needs to become a full-grown adult. All it takes is time and maturity, like growing through those things. Just as that, we have that same, we have all those things in us once we are sealed with the Spirit. We have all those things in us to become a fully mature Christian, to grow in Christ, to become more like him every day. Because God has given us that ability. All things are already in us. In fact, Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says that we are saved. Whenever we are saved, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is our guarantee. Like, there is nothing there that can separate us. And in Romans 8, it says that we have the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. It lives in us. And the exhortation throughout this letter is that we need to grow. That we need to grow in Christ. Because yes, once someone becomes saved, once they have that justification, through saying, yes, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, like all who call upon his name will be saved. As soon as they say that, yes, they have that same power that has all, that granted to us all things that deal with life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So remembering that we have that same power, but it takes time. It's not like all of a sudden a baby, once they're out of the womb, is, hello, mother, hello, father. I'm ready to fend for this house and provide for myself. Let me move out now. Like, you know, it's a full-grown beard, of course. Still, it's a girl, by the way, full-grown beard. No. So babies don't come out of the womb like that. I know Chase can probably attest to this as he's the most recent papa. Did Mercy come out of the womb ready to do everything on her own?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, okay, there you go. Not at all. She's already got a job. I heard that. Yeah.
Making more than a dad.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? No, Mercy's not working yet. Mercy's getting provided for right now by, in fact, at the house right now by Carolyn and her mom. We know that we have, Mercy has everything she needs. That little baby has everything she needs to become a full-grown adult in her. But it takes time to grow. And that is one of the best analogies I've ever heard, because, yes, as soon as someone becomes saved, they have all those things. And you might be wondering, God, if you've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, how come I feel like sometimes I don't see that? And that comes with growth. It comes with saying, God, I want to see that. I want to seek after you. And that's, honestly, this whole first section is about that. It's about seeking after God, because we as Christians, we need to understand that how we get our love, how we get that brotherly affection, how we get all those that ability to honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. How we get all those things comes through that spirit and learning and understanding and coming with a closer walk with God. I just want to exhort us to do those things, to remember those things. And in fact, we're going to go into verse 4. It says here that his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So he's granted to us his precious and very great promises. God has given us promises. And it's not just here in the New Testament. It's throughout his Bible. He has written these things for us for a reason. His promises are vast. I was just reading this morning, actually, that some have calculated that is well over 30,000. That the most minimal amount is still over 30,000 promises throughout the Bible. How crazy is that? That God has given us promises. And you think, are there 30,000 verses? I don't know that stat. I should have looked that up. But there could be more than one promise in a verse. And in fact, there are plenty of verses where there are more than one promise. But I want to encourage you. Find those promises, claim them, because God has given to us the precious, very great promises. And then that last part, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So why is it important to claim promises? Well, one, there's a promise right there. Through them, through claiming promises like this one, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Well, that is just the partakers of divine nature is honestly what he's talking about is salvation, is being that partaker of divine nature, is saying, yes, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Once we do that, then we are all partakers of that. That's what the verse 1, that we are all granted equal faith, right? But having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, do you guys look around you and see stuff ain't right? So you look around, something ain't right in the crick. That's what I say. All like, no, I'm just kidding. yeah, Becca's like, sure you do. Yeah, no. I don't say that. Yeah, but we look around us and we're like, man, something's messed up. We see the world around us, and yes, vast beauty. And it's sad. I point outside on this dreary day, this vast beauty. No, honestly, I love, it's just like this world is beautiful. We can breathe this air right now. God has given us all the things we need, like the beautiful trees, the handiwork of Him is so evident. But yet, through that beauty, throughout the creation exclaiming God's glories every day, we still see human nature corrupting this world. We still see the corruption of the desires of people making this world worse and worse, more broken and broken. And yet, God is saying that through His promises, we can escape. We have escaped that. We are no longer part of the corruption that is in this world. And, you know, here are some promises that kind of relate to that life of holiness. Because right here, He has given us very precious and great promises. But I wanted to share with you a couple that just relate to living a life that is holy after God. So Romans 6:14, this is awesome, actually. I'm going to read it with you guys here. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. Is that not an awesome promise to remember? To remember that as we pursue God, as we have this great spirit, this amazing faith in us, and He's already given us all things, that sin has no dominion over us anymore. That we are not under the law, but under grace. And I with all of these that I'm going through, I encourage you, I exhort you to be like a Berean. In Acts, there are these group of people that when they're shared the gospel, they search the scriptures as well and say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, this Jesus is the Messiah, because they go and search the scriptures to validate or disprove what is being told to them. So I encourage you guys to go over these things, to read even the before and after of Romans 6:14, to be like, why? What does under law but under grace mean? Read it. Read the whole book. Read the Bible. But I want to remind you guys that sin has no dominion over us. Once we have placed our trust in Christ and we've under that law of grace, that Jesus has shown us His grace, because of that, we are no longer under the dominion of sin. And Philippians 4:13, a lot of people quote this verse. Like, you all think, you know, you see it on the back of running verses or running shirts and that kind of stuff, or, you know, like, I can do all things. But really, this verse is talking about the power to obey God's commands. What is the power? Like, beforehand, He's talking about, I can live in squalor, I can live in riches, but He can do all things through Christ who strengthens Him, because He has the power to obey Christ's commands, the power to obey God's commands. Remembering that thing, that the power of Christ, that we can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Remembering that we can obey those commands. They may seem like, oh man, oh, you know, honor my father and mother. Boy, that's hard. Boy, you know, but that is a command of God to do that. And that God has given us the grace to do that, that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. So remembering that we have that. And James 4:7, this is an awesome one, that we resist the devil and he will flee from us. That because of the grace of Christ, because of the power that we have in our lives, we know this promise is true, that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We have victory. We have victory over the devil. Like, again, going back to Romans 6:14, we don't have to switch it, but Romans 6:14, remembering that sin has no dominion over us any longer, like, remembering that James 4:7, that we have victory if we just resist. So I want to just kind of give you guys those promises, but I challenge you to find a promise or 5 or 10 or 20 that really apply to your life that you can go back to. Because as we claim these promises, as we're, you know, if we're thinking through 2 Peter, this world is corrupt. This world is going to have desires that are going to rise up, that are going to tempt us. And if we don't have a promise to claim, if we don't have something to cling to, if we're not holding on to God's word, it'll be easy to just say, okay, this time, sure, why not? I can do that. In different cultures and times past, it was very much Christians claimed to promises because they were being persecuted. Here in America, we don't see the heavy persecution that our brethren did in past years, or even in different countries now, like in North Korea, they're in internment camps. If you're a Christian in North Korea, you are in an internment camp. You are at a slave labor camp, basically, for the rest of your life. So, do you think they would remain Christians if they didn't have these promises to claim? If they didn't have God's word to hold on to? I know that me, I would shake. I remember a story of, I was just reading this morning of a martyr who, again, under heavy pressure, he was tied to the stake, and he was like, they're telling him to recant Christianity. And he was like, no, I won't do it. But under heavy pressure, he did it finally, and his right hand signed the recantation. Literally later on that day, he felt the overwhelming guilt. And he was like, no, my Christ is bigger. My Christ is more. And he literally went to his executioners and said, I want to undo this. I made a mistake. Light up the fires. And he said, I don't want my hands tied. I don't want anything tied. And he said, he burned his hand first. Because this, he said, this is the hand that offended my Jesus. This is the one that shall be punished first. And it's, you guys, I wish I could give you guys this story. But then, again, he was martyred. He was killed right there. I wish I could give you the name of the guy. Bad memory, I'm sorry. But I encourage you guys to look up the stories of these brothers and sisters who have held fast to the faith because they held fast to God's promises. And so I encourage you guys, search for those promises, because without them, it's going to be easy for us, we might not be persecuted, but we'll be tempted with different things to make us kind of complacent. Because the devil knows that he can't get a hold of you now. Once we are firmly in God's grasp, the devil can't snatch us away. So he wants to take us out of the game. He wants to make it so that we're useless as a Christian. He doesn't want to see anyone around you who doesn't know Jesus one to Jesus because of you. He doesn't want to see you bear fruit. He wants to see you just be a complacent Christian, someone who just goes to church on Sunday and does nothing else the rest of the week. I want to encourage you guys to resist the devil, to have victory over him, to remember that God is bigger, he's stronger, and to claim those promises. So I want to remind you of that, just like Peter does here. And I'm holding up my phone, but it's what I have the Bible on right now. But Peter reminds us, and the Bible reminds us. But we're going to jump down to verse 10 real quick. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You know, it's pretty simple. Like the verse before, it's saying, don't be nearsighted. Look to the future, not just what's in front of you. Like verse 9 says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten what he was cleansed from his former sins. What that means is that we are, I guess I am nearsighted. I'll take off my glasses. It's kind of funny to do that sometimes, to see what I am, what I'd be missing out on sometimes. Remembering that this verse is talking about nearsightedness, you see what's right in front of you. You don't look to the future. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to just think about, okay, what's right in front of me? I don't care about what's going on ahead of time. I just want to care about me right now. Like, I don't care about things going on in the future. Don't be nearsighted. Practice these things. Practice? Practice. Practice? Guys, if you don't know, there's a video of Allen Iverson that talks about practice, and he was getting fined. It was a press conference. He was getting fined for missing practice a lot. In fact, I think it was all the practices that week before a game. And he's incredulous. He's like, practice? I'm getting fined for practice? Missing practice? Not a game, but practice. Well, he's incredulous there. But since then, he's really come out and said, okay, I was wrong. Because practice is important. The reason why practice is important is because you learn to work in basketball, you learn to work as a team to do those things in the game. You learn, for you guys who play instruments, you learn how to play the instrument well so that when it comes to playing the time, you can play it well. Like, you don't just, you don't do random, like, everyone else is doing this one thing, and I'm just doing my own thing going on. I'm doing the violin, but I don't know, like, whatever. I don't play violin. That's apparently electric guitar. That's, yeah. So, really, how do we practice? How do we practice these things? You know, how do we do these things? And I'm going to go back to verse 2, actually. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter is exhorting them to see this grace and peace multiplied. Well, how do we see that multiplication in our life? How do we see grace and peace multiplied? Well, really, it's spending time with him. It's practicing these things. And we'll go over those things too, but it's spending time with our Lord. It's saying, yeah, I want to learn more from you. So that's one thing. But then we're going to read verses 5 through 7, the ones that we kind of skipped there. But for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And I'm just going to keep on. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So we've been giving everything. We know in verse 3, we've been already given everything. And now it's our time to cultivate. And we've been given those things. We've given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Now it's our time to cultivate those things. Keegan tells us this example really well. But we as Christians think so counterintuitive sometimes to really what the world thinks. In a lot of ways, that's good. But when it comes to growing, or when it comes to being strong in faith, we have a counterintuitive thought. We think, well, God's in us. He's given us everything. I'm just going to have it and go for it, right? Well, so, you know, God gives grace. I want to emphasize that. God gives grace, and that happens, and that's awesome. Sometimes all of a sudden you go from zero to hero just like that. For Hercules fans. Anyway, but you go from zero to 100, and you're just like, I know it all because of the grace of Christ. But a lot of times, it's with a lot of practice. For example, you look at these quarterbacks that are in the NFL, and there's good sports analogies here, but you look at these quarterbacks in the NFL, and you see them just making these throws consistently, making all this stuff, and it's because they practice. You think they woke up one day in high school and were like, I'm going to be an NFL quarterback, and all of a sudden, they had the skills. I think it, I do it. There, I'm done. You know, like, no. You know it takes lots of practice. It takes hours and hours of intense training to do that. And just that way, it takes practice for us to see these things grow in our life, to see self-control, to see knowledge and virtue and faith and love and brotherly affection and godliness, all these things, and steadfastness, all these things cultivated in our lives. It takes work. And it's not like a work on this and then work on this. It's working on, I mean, it's honestly cultivating many fields at the same time. Like, for example, I come to work every morning, just about every morning, at 5:15. And I'm there. I'm like 100%, I'm 100 there. And everyone's like, Darren, why? How are you so awake this morning? How in the world? And I honestly, it's because of Jesus Christ. But it's because every morning I practice saying, God, I'm going to put on this face. I need your help. I don't want to do it, but God, you need to help me. And every morning you need to do that. And I know it's something that it takes just a lot of practice. You see these people like, I do a lot of work examples because I'm there like 40 plus hours of my week. So I see people at work who are just amazing at what they do, like making drinks and taking orders at the same time and doing all these things and making sure that they can even have a conversation with someone else while they're taking orders, very attentive to the guest, while they're making drinks and doing all these things. And I'm just like, how do you do that? But then I remember whenever they first started working, they were like, okay, what else? What else? Absolutely, yes, okay. Shh. You know, like, like talking, like they're very focused. They need to be intent. But then they start doing it more and more. And they start practicing getting the hang of it. Someone tells them, oh, whenever you're taking an order, you can put your drink over here and press a button and it makes it for you. And they're like, oh, nice. Okay, then. Oh. And then they start loosening up. They start practicing. I see them more and more on, this is the headset position, right? I see them more and more doing these things. And by the, like, I think of Kevon and Kenesha. They're there, God bless you, every morning. And every morning they're there taking orders in the back as they're walking, carrying up cases of orange juice and doing all these other things, taking, and they remember the totals of orders. Like, and I'm like, how in the world? It's because they practice. They do it often. They know they are excellent at their job, right? They know what they're doing. And so I, just the same way, it takes us, it's not like all of a sudden I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write out, I'm going to journal for an hour every week. I've never journaled before in my life, but I'm going to do it right now. And you sit down 5 minutes in, you're like, what do I write? Like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. But slowly but surely, soon an hour, like after you do it for a year or two, an hour is not enough. If you want to write, you want to write, you want to get into it. I mean, I encourage you guys to journal, but you don't have to do an hour at a time or anything like that. That was just an example. But just practice. Practice those things. How are you so gracious? How are you so friendly to those people that just are so, they're stiff. You know, how are you so friendly to stiff people? You practice. You got to understand that, well, God loves them. He's going to use me. I know the first times I interacted with someone who's made me upset early on in my life, and it was easy for me to just be like, whatever, and just walk away, and just, or kind of get upset back. Honestly, getting upset back was my go-to. Like, oh, you're gonna get upset? I'm gonna get upset. Take that. Now we're both angry. Nah, that works out well. But it takes time to practice these things to make sure that we are having that self-control. I'm looking at Becca, but Becca's known me pretty much the longest out of everyone here, that whenever I was first in college, self-control was probably on the bottom of my lists of things that I did well. And it's still not on the top of my list of things I do well, but God has been very gracious in practicing those things. So I wanted to encourage us to practice, to do those things, to just do it, make your dreams come true. But I want to remind us of, guess what, guys? A promise. So in verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. If we practice being in the Word, if we practice loving God, if we practice loving other people, and we go through all of these and say, okay, I've got the faith, but do I have virtue? And what is virtue? Honestly, it's just moral excellence in this world. It's having that moral excellence to say yes to Christ and no to sin. And virtue, supplementing your moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And what is knowledge? I mean, it's good to know how many verses are in a Bible, and it's good to know all these different things, but unless we actually put it into practice and do something with that knowledge, it means nothing. Knowledge with self-control, again, having the knowledge that, okay, I see this in front of me, and I could do it, or I could hold on to this promise and have self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, making sure that I'm there, like being there, being present with God. Steadfastness in God's word. That is one thing that I know that I used to lack, but ever since I was like, I'm going to do this, I must get in God's word, there was a steadfastness in my life. It was a pursuit of him. And godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Well, we must have those things. So I wanted to remind us of those. If we do those, we won't fail. So, verse 12. Let's go to verse 12 real quick. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth you have. And then verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall those things. Do it again. If you think you're done, do it again. If you think you've arrived, do it again. Peter is repeating himself. He's if you look at 1 Peter, he has said all these things basically before. It's throughout Scripture. He's just repeating Scripture and putting it before them to say, look, do these things. I'm reminding you of these things. Do them. Do it again. Do it again. And if you think you have it covered, again, do it again. In fact, in Philippians 3:1, I love this verse. It's throughout Philippians, Paul is saying to rejoice. To rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I think it's like mentioned 8 times before this. Where it's like, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Actually, a lot of verses, a lot of different trends, they say it's a safeguard for your faith. Why do we hear the same thing over and over again? Because it's a safeguard to us. Why do we see the same things over and over again? Why do we, it feels like, oh man, like God has told the Israelites over and over again to seek his face, to follow after, turn to him. But he says it over and over and over again. Why? Because it's a safeguard. Because we forget. I don't know how many times I've forgotten. Because I forgot. I want to remind you guys that we are very forgetful. Honestly, like, I have to write things down or else I forget them. The only people I know that just can remember things and do them, honestly, are the Murphys. Like, Jennifer and Eric, just like, I remember one time at home church, like, it was early, like, 2 years in, and we're like, okay, we're going to write down these things, and how are you going to keep yourself accountable this week? And all of us said, oh, I'm going to set a reminder on my phone. And then Eric and Jennifer said, oh, yeah, we'll just do it. And I was just like, yeah, you will. Okay, yeah, like, I trust that because you won't forget. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are examples. I'm not saying that they're non-forgetful people, but, like, there are probably examples where someone's forgotten something. But it is one thing that we all have in common is that we forget things often. We look at these things that's right in front of us, nearsightedness. We have right in front of us, we forget what's in the future. We say, oh yeah, this thing is good right now, but this good right now could overrule or overcome something great in the future. So remembering that we need to do it again, to read through these things, do it again. I don't know how many times I've read through Philippians. It's well over 60 or 70 times now. And yet every time is something new or something that I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that until just now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for reminding me because I forget. And I'm not going to put my forgetfulness on you guys. I'm sure you guys are much better at remembering than I am. But I also want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do it again, to remind yourselves to do it again, to go through his word, to spend time, to cultivate that relationship. And so, in closing, I just want to remind us of those 5 points. And I encourage you to take one or all 5 and just really hone in on it this week and say, okay, same faith. How am I really understanding that God's justice through salvation has given me that same faith? We're all on equal playing field. How am I going to let that change my life? Or all things. God has given me all things through his spirit, through his power. How am I going to let that change my life this week? Or claim promises. Do I have promises? Do you guys have promises that you're claiming, that you're holding on to, that you're saying, yes, this is what I'm building my life on. This is how I know that God is going to be faithful in the future. So claim promises. Then practice. Practice these things. Get into the Word. Pray. Ask that God would instill in you a habit of doing things for others. Instill in you a habit of loving others before you love yourself, of thinking of others before you think of yourself, of doing one of those things. And then do it again. If you think you've got it, if there's one thing you're like, huh, I've got this down pat. Like me, I think all the time, like, man, I'm really great at loving other people. And then I just go, like, the day I think that is the day that I get upset at work and I'm like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, do it again, Darren. Do it again. Let's go. Let's go love this person. Because, you know, it's so easy to get into complacency. And I encourage each and every one of us not to do that. Get out of your stuckages by asking God to get you. It's so foolish. I'm sorry. It's so foolish of me to say, just do it. I encourage you guys to ask God to help you to just do it. Ask God to give you that power. After reading all this, that was foolish, and I apologize. It is nothing that we can do. We must ask that we be reminded of the power that we have. We must ask that we be reminded of the grace that we've been given. And God in his grace will remind us, yeah, remember this power in you. Spirit move. So I wanted to remind us, give us a couple moments here. I'll give you guys a couple moments to think through how you're going to let what we just heard change your life this week and for the rest of your life. How are we going to put into practice? What are we going to do? Why is practice so important? Why is it important to set goals to actually do something? Because if we don't practice these things, we will be nearsighted. We will not get out of that rut. You know, you think through, just think through one thing in your life that you're like, man, I'm stuck in this. I want to do better in this. Or even like some people have the mindset, I'm really bad at this. I encourage you to get out of that, I'm really bad at this, and say, God, help me work on this. I'm working on remembering people's names. Instead of saying I'm bad at remembering people's names, I remember I was working at a coffee shop, and there were so many people coming through, regulars coming through all the time. And I was just like, I'm really bad at remembering people's names. And a brother told me, Darren, say you're working on remembering people's names. That'll change your mindset. Just ask that God would help you remember. It's like, okay, I guess, sure. So I started doing that, and lo and behold, God was gracious, and I remember people's names. It even has applied to here at Chick-fil-A, or at Chick-fil-A is where I work, and it's just like, yeah, I remember these regulars' names that come through, and the drinks that they have, and they're like, wow, you got a great memory. I'm like, God's gracious, because I don't. So ask God to do those things for you. How are you going to put into practice? So I'll give us a few moments, and I'll close us in prayer. God, we are so thankful that we can come before you now. So grateful that you are our Lord, that you are on the move. We ask now that you would move in our lives. Allow us to just have the faith to put into practice what you have taught us, even what you've taught us today, God. And I pray that you would remind us of those things that we've learned years ago, days ago even, and remind us of those things so that we can be like, yeah, I want to do that as well. God, we know that you've given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we want to trust and claim that promise, and trust that you are on the move. So, Father God, we are grateful that you're working in our lives, and we are grateful and thankful that it is through your grace and through your mercy we can come and ask these things faithfully, because we know that, Jesus, you said that, you know, if we ask anything in your name, it will be done for us. And so we trust that promise. We trust your will to be done in our lives. Please, let your will be done. In your name, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things faithfully. Amen. Amen. If you guys want to stand up, the band's making their way back up, and go ahead and sing one last song as we set the mood. I'm wondering why my fingerprint still isn't, like, working.